You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Good afternoon, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast on this Friday, May the 3rd. I am your host, Michael Leva, flying solo today as we got some big news to talk about here in the world of the Miami Dolphins. As I'm sure many of you have seen already, the Miami Dolphins signed Odell Beckham Jr. today. It hasn't been officially announced, but it's been confirmed by multiple sources that Odell Beckham Jr. has signed with the Miami Dolphins, and he is being brought in to be their number three wide receiver. We're going to break it all down, tell you about what this all means and everything involved with the OBJ signing and how this affects the team, what this might mean moving forward post June 1st now, how they might allocate some resources there. We're going to have it covered from soup to nuts every which way. So that's what today's show will be. But before we get to any of that, as always, a big shout out to everyone listening at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, a shout out to our friends at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page. Everyone who's on Facebook, please be sure you are a part of the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page, run by the great and talented Carlos Hernandez. And wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, YouTube, Audible, Podbean, Podchaser, hit that subscribe button right now. Hit that subscribe button. We have shows each and every day of the week. We have two weekend shows dropping, probably one later tonight on Friday and one on Saturday or Sunday, that are going to be awesome. Next week, I have a mega guest confirmed I will be interviewing. And we have you covered this offseason. I know May, June, and July, things get a little slow, but it won't for the Dolphins, as we got that all that money coming off the books June 1st. There's still a lot of moves to be made for the Dolphins, and you're not going to want to miss an episode here at the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. So subscribe, and for those watching on YouTube, please be sure to smash that like button right there. Helps us out. Always a good thing. We appreciate that as well. So as I said, the Dolphins signed Odell Beckham Jr., on Friday, and per reports that are out there from ESPN, that the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills were also in the mix here the past month or so for Odell. As many of you know, the Dolphins sent him a contract offer, you know, roughly 3 to 4 weeks ago, and then there was another report that they sent him a second contract offer when he didn't accept the first one, and Odell just waited in, you know. It was smart for him to wait to see what happened with the NFL draft, what teams were able to acquire the wide receivers they needed in the drafts and what teams weren't, and to see if any of the offers went up in time. And it was reported that Odell turned down more money elsewhere to sign with Miami, which, again, that could just be the state income tax thing. If you get two offers, one from Miami and, say, one from like the Jets or the Bills, New York State, much higher taxes. So is he taking less money? Well, totality, yes, but it could be the same exact offer. And it was also reported today, also from ESPN, that Miami's offer didn't change with the base $3 million. All they did was up the incentive part to just over $5 million. So the base contract offer of $3 million did not change. Miami offered that, you know, from day one. They just upped the incentive aspect of this. So that's kind of where the contract changed for Miami to get this deal done and lock up Odell Beckham. And this is a great signing for the Dolphins at great value. Any fan of the Dolphins who does not like this signing, I don't know what to tell you. This is a great signing every which way. If you don't like this signing, it's probably a sign that you don't understand modern football, how rosters are constructed, and the allocation of resources you have to spread out in constructing a roster. And also how this plays out, taking a step back. If you're going to pay Tua and give this kid a big money extension, which they are. It's not, that's going to happen in the next, 2, 4, 6, 8 weeks. Whenever it happens, it's going to happen. You better surround him with as many weapons as possible to set him up for as much success as possible. And that's what the Dolphins are doing here. You know, last year, they really struggled at times with the wide receiver depth. Everyone knows Hill and Waddle are just outstanding. The Dolphins wide receiver room last year was top heavy, and they needed depth behind them because the depth they had last year was abysmal. Chase Claypool stinks. Robbie Chosen stinks. Braxton Berrios, run-of-the-mill at best, really wasn't very good. River Craycraft got hurt for a period of time. His ceiling is fairly low. Eric Izakama got hurt early with a neck injury. Who knows his future? And that depth in that room failed when, you know, they couldn't get open. They didn't produce. When we played good teams last year in 2023, and when they took away Hill and Waddle or slowed them down and made them less of a factor, the other wide receivers couldn't step up. And then later in the year where it really showed, when Hill and Waddle were less than 100%, Hill obviously gets injured in the Titans game. From then to the end of the season, he was never the same player. And then Waddle, I think he got banged up against the Cowboys. He was really never the same after that. I also believe off the top of my head, he missed some time earlier in the year as well. When those guys went down, none of those other wide receivers really, you know, as they say, grabbed the brass ring, stepped up, made more plays. So they had their chance. And this wide receiver depth going into this season was a big issue that needed to be addressed. And the Miami Dolphins, through free agency and last week in the draft, did that. Because this isn't a damn video game, people, where Hill and Waddle can just run forever, never get tired, never get hurt. This is real life. Guys get hurt. Guys are overworked. And you need depth. And plus, having a real third option for two in the passing game, as well as Jonnu Smith now as well, a real legitimate pass-catching tight end, is huge. And I love every bit of this signing. I think it's I think it works. I think the signing of Odell Beckham, with everything I just listed, he checks every damn box for every one of those things. He is a legit third option, a legit number three wide receiver. God forbid Hill and Waddle, they go down and miss a game or two. He can fill in for them, and then next man up is your third wide receiver. Just he brings so much to the table. Big game experience, won a Super Bowl ring, is not going to shrink in the big moment in a big spot, can play in cold weather. I mean, he just checks every box. And the fact that you're doing this at $3 million is just outstanding value. And let's be honest, if he hits those incentives, that's a good thing. Why? It means he's probably making a whole lot of plays. And if he's making a whole lot of plays, that probably means the Miami Dolphins are winning a whole lot of football games. So there is not a thing to not to like with the signing here of Odell Beckham in any which way. I think it's just, it really is one of the better moves they've made this offseason. There's been a lot of moves this offseason they made that I really, you just sort of go, eh, or you hem and haw and you go, eh, that's nothing special. This one's big. This one I think is big because we know he's not the same Odell Beckham of 2014, 2015, 2016. He's not that guy anymore. I think most level-headed fans of the Miami Dolphins get that. They understand that, and they're okay with that. I think just some of the, like I said, some of the boxes he checks everywhere else just really helps this roster become more rounded out and does a lot of good here. And I see some fans, are upset that Miami drafted two wide receivers last week. If we were going to pay Odell, why did we draft two wide receivers last week? And I just want to remind people, the two guys we signed last week, the two Washington kids, are sixth and seventh round picks. They're sick. I mean, do not get your hope. I mean, that's Isaiah Ford level territory. Yes, we have a lot of hope for Malik Washington and Taj Washington in time. And I think they were drafted specifically to just sort of replace Braxton Berrios and River Craycraft in time. I actually do think River might make this team this year because of his ability to block. I also think those two kids might be better, quicker, faster at special teams this year than someone like a Braxton Berrios, who I think might be an odd man out now. But those are sixth and seventh round picks. They could very easily start the season on the practice squad, and that's okay. Or if one of them makes a roster and one's on the practice squad, that's okay. But you cannot pencil in sixth and seventh round picks like they're going to start or anything like that, or they're going to make this roster and be like a third or fourth wide receiver as rookies. That's asking a lot. We didn't draft Jerry Rice and John Taylor here in round six or seven. We drafted guys who are a little bit undersized and need some work. So I am very, you know, just why I think, again, is Odell Beckham signing really adds a lot to this wide receiver room. And they're going to go into the season now with Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, Odell Beckham, Eric Uzomah, assuming he's healthy. Then you got Washington, River Craycraft, and Braxton Berrios. You know, and not everyone's going to make the roster. A couple of those guys you can hopefully sneak on the practice squad. But overall, that wide receiver room, top to bottom, is way better this year than it was last year. I mean, Chase Claypool, who signed with today the Buffalo Bills, not very good. Not a good football player. That's the reason Pittsburgh moved on from him quickly. It's the reason the Bears gave up on him quickly. That's why Miami gave up on him super quickly. He's just not very good. So on a day where the Bills, who need wide receiver help, you know, way worse than us, are signing Chase Claypool, we're out there getting Odell Beckham Jr. Who wins that day? Who wins that day? Big win for Miami. So a couple things I want to go over, though. There is a lot, and I mean a lot, of misinformation out there on Odell Beckham Jr. I'm seeing from fans of the Dolphins who either just don't know or just being too emotional or probably a combination of both. And we're going to go through some of that. But first, before I do want to mention that the Jaylen Waddle Youth Football Camp is the place to be this summer. Join the Miami Dolphins star on June 22nd in Fort Lauderdale for skill building, fun, and memories that will last a lifetime. Visit JaylenWaddleCamp.com and register while spots are still available. Each camper will receive a limited edition t-shirt, a souvenir autograph, and a team photo with Jaylen. Check out JaylenWaddleCamp.com to learn more. That's JaylenWaddleCamp.com. See you on the field. This is open to boys and girls, grades 1-8. Okay, let's talk about the misinformation that's out there on Odell. I'm going to shoot down a couple of these narratives because they are really false narratives. Number one, Odell Beckham is a locker room cancer. Stop. He isn't. Did Odell Beckham have some issues in New York and Cleveland? Yes. But they were only a few, and that was many, many, many years ago. In New York, you know, he was a rookie, you know, very early in his career, early 20s. Was he a little immature? Yes, he'd probably even admit that. In Cleveland, he was beloved by his teammates. The teammates loved him. He didn't get along with one quarterback. It happens. That doesn't make him a locker room cancer. In Los Angeles, he was beloved by the locker room, won a Super Bowl ring, and caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl where he tore his ACL. And then with the Ravens last year, again, he was beloved by his teammates. So when you're on social media this weekend and you see the people say, Odell Beckham's a cancer in the locker room, ask him for an example, because 99% of the time they can't provide one. People on social media just say stuff. You get a nut job who makes something up in his head. He puts something out there. 20 other nut jobs who don't know anything repost it. And all of a sudden, you got a false narrative and misinformation out there that's just not true. Give me examples of Odell Beckham being a locker room cancer. Cancer is a strong word. Has he had issues with players in the locker room yet? One that you can really think of in Cleveland. He had an issue with the head coach with the Giants. That was many years ago. I mean, going back way, that's about 10 years ago. So, again, he's not a locker room cancer. He's a veteran player now who has been, you know, an altar boy. I don't want to use the word altar boy, but he's been a good teammate for the last few teams he's been on. One was a big part of the Rams winning a Super Bowl. Last year with the Ravens, he filled a role, didn't complain, didn't ask to do more. He just filled his role, showed up, and did what he was asked to do. And, you know, that's great, you know, and he's grown as a person, as I hope all of us have in the past 10 years. And, you know, I don't want him to be the same person he was in his 20s. If he was, I'd be worried. He's clearly not, and there's not any evidence to say that Odell Beckham is a locker room cancer. That's misinformation. The next bit of misinformation out there is Odell Beckham Jr. is washed up. Stop. You don't know what you're talking about. Is he the same Odell Beckham from 2015 and 2016? Of course not. But guess what? He ain't getting paid like that either. In L.A. with the Rams and with the Ravens, he knew his role. He was a role player. And he showed up and did his job. So with $3 million, I am fine with a veteran Odell Beckham Jr. being who he is. And it's just not washed up. In 2023, let's go through the stats of recent years. I don't want to go back 2015, 2016. We already know he ain't that guy anymore. In recent years, 2023, 35 receptions, 353 yards, 3 touchdowns in 14 games. Good numbers for a number 3 wide receiver. Very good numbers. 2022, he missed because he had the torn ACL in the Super Bowl. So, okay. 2021, once again, 14 games, 44 receptions, 537 yards, and 5 touchdowns. So if you're telling me this guy's going to give you, on average, 40 receptions, you know, 500 to 600 yards in between 3 to 5 touchdowns as a number 3 wide receiver, sign me up all day, every day, and twice on Sunday. And with those teams, what he didn't have what he's going to have in Miami. And what he's going to have in Miami is Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Jonnu Smith lined up around him, and in the backfield, either Achane or Mostert. Okay, he's going to get a lot of favorable matchups. A lot of favorable matchups in Miami. So I would not be surprised if those numbers that he's done recently, 2023 and 2021, actually take a spike this year in Miami just because everything around him is, like, ideal and it's going to be outstanding for him. So another positive thing here, he's not washed up. So do not tell me Odell Beckham is a locker room cancer and do not tell me he's washed up. If you're playing those same old tired narratives, then you're just misinformed really at the end of the day. One other thing I saw today, and that was, you know, people say, well, thankfully Odell Beckham signed before June 1st. Thank God. Why? It doesn't matter. Miami, heading into today, had $3 million in change on the salary cap. Odell Beckham eats up $3 million bucks, so Miami's still under the cap, which they have to be, and it has zero effect on the $18 million coming off the cap on June 1st. Now, if they did not sign Odell Beckham, saying wait until June 1st, they would have $3 million in change today, have $18 million come off June 1st, so that gives you $21 million in change. Then they would have paid Odell the same contract, and you're back in the same place you are today. It literally makes no difference if Odell Beckham was signed today or post June 1st. I know some people are like, wait, we didn't have to wait till June 1st. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We have the same amount of cap space. We will have the same amount of cap space on June 1st that we would have if you waited and then just signed him on June 1st. You're back in the same place. And don't forget this, too, when it comes to salary cap space, for those of you who are following that like a hawk. Again, Miami's going to have roughly $18 million now in salary cap space. This really puts them almost at the cap number. Not over it, because it can't be over, but puts them right at the cap number. If Miami gives Tua a long-term deal, again, in the next week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, that's going to lower his cap number for this year. So not only will Miami get the $18 million coming off the books, that'll shave some money off Tua's cap number this year and give him more cap space to spend now should they want to. They might not want to. They might want to save it, roll it over, because they know they got to pay Waddle and Phillips and possibly Holland and all that stuff. So they might not want to. But June 1st, they're going to have $18 million. They might have more if they can lock up this deal with Tua before then. I see a number here. I see a comment here in our chat from Raphael saying, not looking forward to seeing Kim Kardashian at our games. Another Taylor Swift theme. Don't worry about it. Because about a month or two ago, Kim Kardashian and Odell Beckham broke up, so you will not see Kim Kardashian at games of the Dolphins. They are no longer an item. That's probably the last time we'll mention her name on this podcast, unless they get back together. So that will not be happening. The last thing I want to – well, there's two more things I want to talk about. Last one I know is going to rub some fans of the Dolphins the wrong way. But this podcast, look, the reason most of you are listening – and the reason most of you have been longtime listeners to this podcast over the past 10 years is we keep it honest. We keep it honest. When things are good, we say they're good. This is a good signing. I'm saying all positive things today. At times things are bad. We have to say things are bad. And it is what it is. But I'm seeing this other narrative that's out there, that the 2024 Miami Dolphins roster is and will be better than the 2023 Miami Dolphins roster. And that's just not true. And I know there's still more time to do things. I know there's still more time to do things post June 1st, but any signing post June 1st will improve the team. Yes, but it's not going to change the roster drastically. Now with this Odell Beckham signing, is the wide receiver room upgraded over last year's 2023? Yes. Did signing Jonnu Smith upgrade the tight end room over 2023's tight end room? Yes. But I think that's kind of where most of the upgrading stopped. And I think Miami kind of took a step back with most of the other positions. Now, on some of the positions, you can say it's a wash or a tiny step back, but there's no drastic improvements. And let's just go through it real quick here. Christian Wilkins, you know, he hasn't been replaced. They signed 7 guys on 1-year deals to $2 million or less. They haven't upgraded the defensive line. And that's not even counting Raekwon Davis leaving. The defensive line is not improved over last year's. Robert Hunt, they haven't replaced him at right guard. Now, even if they sign Dalton Risner or another vet guard of that caliber, they're not better than Robert Hunt. So the offensive line has not been improved either. Shaq Barrett, signed him to replace Andrew Van Ginkle. Shaq Barrett's going to turn 32 this season. Andrew Van Ginkle's a young player who's an ascending player. Shaq Barrett's in the final year or two of his NFL career. I'm not saying Shaq Barrett's bad, but I'd rather have Andrew Van Ginkle. I think Andrew Van Ginkle's younger. He's ascending. He hasn't hit his ceiling yet. So I would say not an upgrade there, although Shaq Barrett's not bad, just not an upgrade. The safety one, Jordan Poyer, turned 33 last week. Elliott and Jones are 2 players in their mid-20s who are, again, ascending players. Jordan Poyer is probably his last year in the NFL. You want to say it's a wash, go for it. That's fine. But I'd rather have 2 ascending safeties in their 20s than a guy who's in his last year of his NFL career. So you want to say it's an upgrade? I wouldn't argue with you too much, but it's just not really – not much of an upgrade if it is one. It's pretty much a wash, and I'd rather actually have the guys we lost. Aaron Brewer over Connor Williams. Again, this is not a knock over Aaron Brewer. If both guys were healthy, which we know Connor obviously isn't, if both guys are healthy, I'd rather have Connor Williams. I think he's a better center. But Aaron Brewer, I mean, he's not going to be bad, but I think it's a little bit of a step down. Jordan Brooks over Jerome Baker. I call it a wash. Some say it's an upgrade. I'm not going to argue over it. But again, if it's an upgrade, it's very minimal. It's not like a huge upgrade there. It's not going to move the needle, anything there. Kendall Fuller over Xavien Howard. Dolphins got cheaper, and that's a big deal because they're way over the cap. So I understand Kendall Fuller for 2 years. I think it's like roughly $2.5 million or so, guaranteed at least, and lose Xavien Howard and open up $18 million. That makes all sense. But let's just be honest. Kendall Fuller last year, the passer rating against him was 120. The passer rating against Xavien Howard was 81. Kendall Fuller gave up 9 touchdowns. Xavien Howard gave up 1. And I know you can find people who will spin that every which way. Oh, he played for Washington. Washington stinks, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and if we're also going to talk injuries, Kendall Fuller only played in 2 more games than Xavien Howard. So it's not even like that big of a difference there. Again, I get it. You want to go Kendall Fuller to save money on a cap. It's a smart move. But let's not say we upgraded a cornerback. I still think Xavien Howard's a better player today. Even at 2 less games played, I think he's a better player than Fuller. That's just me. You don't have to agree. You know, I see people here in our chat here that Dalton Risner's way better than Hunt. If he is, then why isn't he signed? How come Robert Hunt signs for $20 million and Dalton Risner doesn't have a contract on May 3rd if he's way better? See, that doesn't make any sense. Again, that's a false narrative that people push on social media. I'm not saying Dalton Risner's bad. I hope we sign Dalton Risner and put him in at right guard. I think it would help this offensive line tremendously. But you can't say he's much better than Robert Hunt when they're both on the free agent market. One guy signed in 24 hours for a $100 million contract, and one guy doesn't have a job on May 3rd. I mean, you think if he was that good, one of the 32 teams would have signed him already. It's just, come on, common sense, folks. Common sense. I understand if we sign Risner, it's a great signing. We're all going to be excited. Even if we don't sign him and sign another offensive lineman or guard, we'll all be excited, and that'll be a good signing. But they're not going to be as good as Robert Hunt. That's just keeping it honest. And, I mean, we can't live in a false reality where we just make up things that just aren't true. And that's one of those things that, you know, aren't true. So, you know, I get it overall looking at the roster. The roster's not bad. So don't have me, as I say this thing, oh, I think the roster, they're going to win 9, 10, 11, or 12 games. They have a chance to win the AFC East. They have a chance to make a run at the playoff, you know, in the playoffs and win a couple playoff games, hopefully more. But the roster overall is different than last year. And from just a pure talent standpoint, just the loss of Wilkins and Hunt alone without replacing them, even if you think Shaq Barrett's way better than ABG, even if you think Jordan Brooks is way better than Jerome Baker, even if you think Kendall Fuller is way better than Xavien Howard, even if you think Jordan Poyer is way better than Elliott and Jones, even if you believe that, even if I concede all that to you, which I won't, but even if I did, you still didn't replace Wilkins, you still didn't replace Hunt. The roster overall is not better, and that's a fact. Now, they did upgrade, like I said, tight end and wide receiver, and that is a factor that I think is going to help the passing game, But let's also just let's, as they say, keep it 100 here. The roster overall from a talent level is not better. And I know there's, I know it's not over. Post June 1st and all that money comes out, they're going to sign some guys, and we're about to talk about that now. But those, any of those guys they sign, again, really isn't going to push the needle to making the roster better in 2024 than it was in 2023. It might not be substantially worse, but it ain't better. And that's what it is. Yeah, someone here saying in our chat, Hunt's not worth $20 million. Well, guess what? He is worth it because someone paid it. You're paid what you're worth. Since he got it, he's worth it. So that's the truth. Okay. With wide receiver now, looking at this Dolphins roster a week after the draft and with this Odell Beckham signing, you can look around the roster and say, what's left? What holes on this team need to be still filled, especially post-June 1st when all that money's coming off the cap? We look at quarterback, check, we're good there. You look at wide receiver now with Odell Beckham, check, we're good there. Running back, we just traded up in round 4 last week, added Jalen Wright with Achane and Mostert and Wilson and, you know, Savon Ahmed. Check, we're good there. Tight end, we added 2 of them this offseason. Check, we're good there. Offensive line, we know guard's an issue. Guard is an issue. So we're not perfect there. That's one of the needs. Other side of the ball, safety's a huge issue. We only have 33-year-old Jordan Poyer, 1-year deal. Javon Holland, last year of his deal. We drafted Patrick McMorris last week, 6th-round pick. Probably a practice squad guy. Little bit of, you don't want him to contribute much this year. You want to get him in the system, sneak him on the practice squad, and see what happens in a year or two from now. And then Elijah Campbell, who, again, more of a special teams guy, not someone you want to see on the field too much on defense. Safety is another big need for the Dolphins here post-June 1st. Linebacker, for the most part, they're set. Defensive line edge, I'm going to combine that into one. And I think they need at least one more. Because we don't – here's the deal. Chubb's going to be out at least half the year. Jalen Phillips probably, late September, early October-ish. I know he says he wants to play week 1. Every player wants to say he'll play week 1. But more realistically, you're looking mid to late September, first part of October for Phillips, which is fine. I mean, that's still an amazing time frame for him to return from when he had that injury on Black Friday. I mean, that's still great, but that's realistic. And then you got Chop Robinson and Muhammad Kamara and Shaq Barrett. 2 of those guys are rookies, and I'm not saying they're going to be bad, but really you don't want them on the field too much on 1st and 2nd down when teams might be running the ball. Their strength is getting after the quarterback right now as rookies. That's how they're going to make a name for themselves as rookies. Hopefully year 2, year 3, year 4, they develop into guys who can, set the edge, play the run much, much better. But year 1, you want them getting after the quarterback primarily. You don't want them on the field too much on 1st and 2nd down. Now, they might have to because we just don't have anybody else. But I think leads to this, post-June 1st, what are the needs? And in no special order, safety, edge, and offensive guard. And with $18 million coming off the books, and hopefully they pay Tua here and they get shave his 2024 cap number down, and it's more money there, they're going to have enough to sign probably 2 to 3 guys here to fill each one of these needs on 1-year deal. So let's talk about who's out there. Let's start with safety. I think that's the biggest need. And here are the names. Justin Simmons, we know, 30 years old, 7-year vet, played last year with the Broncos, the biggest safety name out there. He won't be cheap, but he's a guy, if you put him back there with Holland and Poyer, that's a 3-headed monster of safety that is very good. And then you could convince me that we've upgraded the safety room. I'm not saying it today, but then you can say, you know what, maybe we have upgraded the safety room. You add Simmons. Other guys, Jamal Adams, Eddie Jackson, Micah Hyde, Marcus May, good players. If we signed one of them, fine, although I'm not a big fan of Jamal Adams. I just think very overrated, and really does not bring much value in any aspect of the game. But if they did sign one of those type of guys to be sort of depth at safety, okay, good signing. We know we need help there, so we will see. But that would be fine at safety. Now, let's look at offensive guard. Andres Pete, who is also 30 years old, played with the Saints. You have Phil Haynes, who is only 28 or so, played with Seattle, and he's actually already visited with Miami, so keep an eye on him. Dalton Risner, like we said, 28 years old, Just changed agents recently to Drew Rosenhaus. Hello, we know what that means. And there is Greg Van Roten, 34, with the Raiders. He's a scheme fit for Miami, a little bit older, 34, but again, on a one-year deal, that's fine. You know, there are some other names. You got Lucas Patrick, Mark Glowinski, and stuff like that. So there's other names, but I would expect one of those names because it has been reported from the Miami Herald. They've spoken to three offensive linemen, specifically offensive guards, in the past month. Two of them are full-time starters. One of them is a part-time starter. I think Haynes might be the part-time starter, although I'm not 100% on that. So once again, they signed one of them. That would be great, sort of plug and play at right guard. Then you got Armstead, Isaiah Wynn, Aaron Brewer, whoever you sign for right guard, and then at right tackle, Austin Jackson, and you're depth behind them. Lamb and Keon Smith at both offensive tackle spot. Patrick Paul behind them. And then on the inside, you got Liam Eichenberg, Robert Jones, Lester Cotton to be the backups in the middle of the offensive line. I mean, that would be the best type of situation to head into the 2024 season right now, since they didn't make a big play for an offensive guard in the draft, and they didn't make a big play for one in that first wave of free agency. So that'd be good there. And the last one, we're going to look at edge here, and this is where it's kind of slim pickings. But I do think they need a vet here. And some of the names that are out there, Emmanuel Ogba, they're not going to bring him back. Carl Lawson, they've already spoken to. He's 28, soon be 29. His best days are behind him. He's had a lot of injuries. I'm not a big fan. Although if they signed him, I kind of get it. They really just be asking him to play first, second down, first to run. And on third down, they would probably yank him from the field to get in, you know, the Chop Robinsons and Muhammad Kamara's to get after the quarterback. Calais Campbell's an interesting name, but he will be 38 here come like September. And at some point you have to wonder how much he has left in the tank, but he's a 15-year vet, spent last year with Atlanta, you know, in a part-time role with limited snaps, put him out there. He can sort of, you know, he's not a poor man's Christian Wilkins. He's an old man's Christian Wilkins. You put him out there sort of in that spot to help stop the run, I guess. Yannick Ngakoue, 29, spent last year with the Bears. He's out there. Charles Harris, I don't think Miami's going to have it. I mean, they might want to bring him back. I don't know. Jerry Hughes, Bud Dupree. So there's guys out there. Shaq Lawson, I don't think they're bringing him back because when he left last time, it was ugly. He had some harsh words to say. So, but there are guys out there. But I think the safety, there's more than a couple. I think offensive guard, there's more than a couple. That defensive line edge spot to help, you know, so you don't have to just throw Chop Robinson into the deep end. So you don't have to throw Muhammad Kamara into the deep end right away. Mm-hmm. You can sort of develop them a little bit slowly. But overall, that's what's next, man. That's what's next. But this Odell Beckham signing, it's a good day for the Dolphins. If you're not a fan of this signing, sorry. I don't know why you're not a fan. I think you're probably listening to a lot of false narratives that, you know, Odell's washed up, he's a cancer. That stuff's just not true. Don't listen to that stuff, man. It just ain't true. All right, that's all for today's show. Thank you all for listening. Hey, something else, too, I want to mention. If you want a question right on the podcast, because sometimes we get a ton of people in our chat we can't answer. If you send me something via an email, sometimes it just gets lost in the shelf. I get a lot of emails. If you go to our Apple Podcast page, and if you're a subscriber to our Apple Podcast page, leave us a 5-star rating. And where it says the review, put a question there. Now, it's got to be a 5-star rating. If you're going to leave me a 1 or 2-star rating and ask me a question, I ain't gonna read it on there. But if you leave me a 5-star rating and ask a question in the Apple Podcast review, I will read it on the air. The next time I do a show, I will read it on the air and I will give you a shout-out. So go to our Apple Podcast page. Leave us a 5-star rating. And if you got a question on any topic with the Dolphins, especially now as we get to May, June, July, where news is kind of slow and there's not like a ton to talk about, perfect time for that. So go to the Apple Podcast page, 5-star rating, put your question or ask for the review, and I will read it, give you a shout out on the air, and we can talk about that topic. Because like I said, the news is going to be a little slow here the next, until we get to training camp. So more than happy to do that for people who listen. Again, wherever you listen, I don't care what platform, hit that subscribe button. It's much appreciated. Go to our YouTube page also. Make sure you subscribe to that and smash the like button on all of our shows. Also, this summer, want to say July-ish, we got a big announcement coming. We got a big announcement coming, and it's going to be pretty, 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 pretty good. That's all I'm going to say. So you want to make sure you're subscribed to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network wherever you listen so you don't miss that big announcement when it happens, because you're going to love it. So everyone check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com, and while we got a bunch of new articles, videos, and podcasts up. As always, everyone have a great Friday. We'll talk to you again after a while. And folks, please don't forget, we must put an end to highway profanity.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.